Man, what is it? Can I ask you a question? Like, what is it that shakes you? And that's great going into our message this morning. But what is it? What is it that shakes you? Carter, would you grab my sword out again, brother? It's actually not mine, it's Jamie's. But we are going into this two-week deal called Shield and Sword. And the Bible in Ephesians 6 says that we're supposed to take up the shield and we're supposed to yield the sword properly. The sword is the word of God. Next week, we'll talk about the power of his word. For it is effective to those who believe it. And you and I understand what that looks like to build our faith according to his word. But today we're going to talk about the shield. And what does it look like? What is it that shakes you? Look at this thing. This is ridiculous. This is a Jamie Reiner gift. He gave it to me. He didn't know that, but he gave it to me. It's really cool. But he said, Sean, it's sharp. I sharpen it myself. That means I'm not going to take it any further than that because I like my digits kind of right where they're at. You know what I mean? But next week, we're going to look at that, what the Bible says about the word of God being a sword. And watch what happens when you yield the sword properly in faith using the word of God, that the Bible says it's effective to those who believe it. The word of God is effective. It's alive and powerful. And next week, we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to go deeper in what it means to hold the sword and yield the sword properly with being effective with the word of God. And what does that mean to build us up knowing and believing and trusting in the word of God? Man, so good. I'm going to put this back here because I want to trip over it. But that's going to be next week. Today, we're talking about the shield. We're going to talk about what is it that shakes us, and why do we get shaken? If we believe that God will never allow the righteous to be shaken, then what shakes us? Man, you know, it's great because I don't know when, but in the future, I'm gonna go through these 2 weeks, and then we're gonna get in starting in July. We're gonna do a whole series called Train Your Brain. And I'm so excited about this series called Train Your Brain. What happens in our mindset that affects our everyday, and I'm so excited for that. But there's a day that I wanna just preach on what it means that us who really walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, us who are saved, born again, knowing that the Spirit of the living God reigns and dwells within us, that, watch this now, every time you have a contact with anybody, that's a spiritual encounter. That you have the ability to make a difference in anybody's life that you have a contact. And I've tried to take this and own this. And every time I meet somebody, whether it's filling gas, whether it's Tim Hortons, whether it's at a restaurant, I'm beginning to buy into the truth. Listen to this, that every time I meet somebody, that's a contact. How do I have an impact or influence on that person? And last night, Renee and I, we've been in Rochester for this weekend. Her and Ethan are still there playing baseball. And we've been in Rochester this weekend and got through with the last game. Ethan went off with his buddies to swim in the pool. Renee and I went out for dinner, just the two of us, which was nice. And this was a dinner where there's TVs all around. It's a high activity place. It's just high energy place, huge fire pit, right? And our waitress, man, she was struggling. She was just not having a great day. And Renee ordered three things, and one of them showed up in an hour and a half. And that's just kind of like, and this, you know, you begin to pick up on things where this waitress is just, she's just struggling, man. She's just having a difficult day. And it's amazing because what happens when you don't start barking and complaining, you don't even make mention of where we're at in our dinner and what we're trying to accomplish with just the two of us. You actually bring her into the table and you bring her into your circle and you begin to laugh with her and you begin to make her laugh. And then all of a sudden things just begin to change and the bill comes and the bill's completely wrong and she catches it and she just begins to download a little bit to Renee about what's going on. And there's fire pit, there's people just kind of yelling and having a great time and our poor waitress. And then and you see it when we pay and of course she got the 20 plus tip and she just comes over. She just kind of latched onto Renee. She says, thank you for being so kind to me. You know what she didn't need? She didn't need people barking at her about the order. She didn't need people just saying, hey, listen, I ordered three things and you got one right and the bill is way wrong and this is that. And the Bible says this, I love this. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Watch this, but a kind word cheers it up. And here this poor young lady, she's just working so hard and she's just struggling. And all my wife did was just be so kind. you realize sometimes that's all it takes? That we are spiritual beings, and the very God who created all things by his Spirit dwells and reigns within you and I. And when we make contact with people, that's a spiritual encounter. Listen, that wasn't the moment to pray for her. That wasn't the moment to say, oh, let's just pray for you. There's people all around. It's chaos. That would have, honestly, would have blown the moment of just truly walking in a place to recognize people and be kind. And Renee got this huge bear hug out of it from this young lady who just said, thank you for being so kind. I just kind of thought we laughed a lot and just had fun, but it meant a lot more to her than honestly it meant to me. And I just want to share that before we really get preaching today, because it's just fresh and it's just one of them things. Now, there are moments that you stop and you pray for people. I did that this week at the gas station. The poor gas attendant, I try to go to the same place. Again, you know my story. I try to build relationship with people. My man was going into surgery. He seemed nervous. I'm like, let's just stop. Can I pray for you? Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, right now. It's funny. He's like, and I was just like, whoa, all right. And he just kind of stood at attention like, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm pumping gas and I'm praying for him at the same time. There's times for that. What happens when you're aware? Man, I could preach on that, but that's a different day. Whew. Here we go. Come on, Ephesians 6. And we're going to get to two places, Ephesians 6 and Hebrews 11. Ephesians 6, Hebrews 11, we're going to talk about what it means to the shield of faith. And you know, man, our mindset is we are warriors. And what happens when you say, no, I don't want, my faith isn't going to get shaken, man. I'm going to be strong and I'm going to walk by faith. And I'm going to live by faith. And I'm going to understand what it means to grow my faith. And my faith is only because of Jesus Christ, who really does live in my heart and live in my spirit, that it is through him. My belief and my trust is in him. So when we break down the word faith, I love this, because faith, it means a confidence. It actually means, watch this now, this is huge. It actually means a careless confidence. What do you mean by careless? That's kind of an awkward word. But when you begin to study the word faith, it means, yes, it means trust. Yes, it means belief. Yes, it means to rely on. Yes, it means confidence, but there's this amazing word called careless confidence. Because my confidence is so high, I can be careless where I don't have to worry. That's what that means. You got to understand this. The Bible says our faith is so important. It's so vital that it's impossible to even please God without faith. We'll get to Hebrews 11, 6 in just a moment. Will you come to a place to see the reality of what God says? When we are taking up the armor and we're taking up the shield of faith, the benefit of what that looks like, when you buy into the truth, man, in whom do I trust? Where do I put my confidence? Can I really have a careless confidence? Can I really trust with such a level that I can be careless in a sense of not having to worry? Because I know in whom I trust. Come on, look at this. Verse 16, Ephesians 6. Lord, bless this word today, please, that every one of us would have an ear to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, verse 16. In addition to all, we're only covering two out of the, we're not going to go through all of Ephesians 6. In the next 2 weeks, we're covering the shield, and the next week, we're covering the sword. The shield and the sword, Ephesians 6, 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Taking up, man, pick it up. Pick up. The shield of faith. And here you got Paul writing this, and these guys would understand who he's writing to, would get this picture in their mind to pick up a shield. And in their day, there's this particular shield was a shield that a soldier would carry, and it was the size of a door. It would cover from above the head to the toes. It would cover around. And this thing was for complete protection. That if I'm behind this shield, they can't see me, they can't touch me, they can't get to me. It protects me from head to toe. This wasn't a little toy shield. This wasn't a Walmart shield, right? This wasn't a Captain America shield, the round little circle with the star. No, this thing was big, bad, heavy, the size of a door, made of wood. And what they would do, they would dip this and soak the shield, this wood shield. They soak it in water. Because they knew that when I'm in battle, man, the arrows are going to fly. And it's one thing for arrows to fly. Like, listen, I could imagine arrows being really pointed and shot. But then when you see an arrow on fire coming at you, that just seems a lot worse to me. I'm just saying. But here, I like this because when Paul writes this, this is what he says. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish. You will be able to. I love that. There's no gray area here. There's no second guessing what God is saying through Paul. You will be able. Able to what? To extinguish all the fiery arrows that the evil one will shoot. I love this. You will be able. You mean I'll be able. You will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Now let's break this thing down, okay? So here you've got Paul, and he's speaking to the church, and he's given this amazing picture of what it looks like to take up faith. He's trying to show them, listen, this is what faith can do. Here's a benefit of faith. And when you're walking by faith, when you understand what that belief is and whom you believe in, and that is in our King, that is in our Jesus, that is in our Savior, that is in our Lord, that is in the one and only Son of the living God. This is who our faith is in. So it's Jesus before us. This is where my faith lies. This is whom I trust in. Now watch this. In that faith, that will be a shield. Now you got to get the picture here, right? Ephesians, the people who are reading this are like picturing this door-sized, heavyweight, wooded shield soaked to bone in dripping water, knowing that the enemy, the enemy that they're actually fighting will at times shoot fiery arrows, and then when they hit the shield, they just extinguish. But when he applies it to our spiritual life, he says, listen, the shield that you need that's going to protect you from head to toe is your faith. And you will be able. I love the idea that there's not a question here. I love the idea that this really isn't a gray area. You will be able to extinguish, to put out all. You mean everyone? All. The fire arrows of the evil one. Listen, you got to know something, church. Please hear this, man. He is shooting arrows. And I believe these arrows can be so many different things. I believe the arrows that he shot at Adam and Eve was to get to question God. Did God mean that? What happens when one of his arrows is to try to get us, just like he did to Adam and Eve? It's one of his schemes. Is to get you and I to question who God is. To get you and I to question the Word of God. To get you and I to question as it is written. To get you and I to really come to a place to doubt who God is. Now you got to see this because this is huge. Like he's got many arrows that he can fire. But when you break it down to faith, and you break it down and say, listen, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust and believe. And let him, because he will. He's going to fire darts that are on fire. And he's going to try to get right to your spirit. He's going to try to get right to your heart. And the thing that guards your heart is your faith. Come on, turn with me to Hebrews 11, verse 6, please. I want you to see this because This is powerful, and so many people know the first sentence to this verse, and they can quote it, and it's great, but then they miss the meat and potatoes. Man, they missed the depth of what this verse really is, because again, today we're talking about what it means to yield that shield, man. We're talking about what it means to understand my faith, my belief, my trust, my confidence. Man, that will guard me, man. I'm going to be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. They're going to come. He's going to try to get me to question. He's going to try to get me to doubt. He's going to try to get me to really question God. Man, temptation is going to come. Man, and then we come to this place to say, okay, but what does Hebrews 11 verse 6 say? For it is, watch the importance of faith. For it is impossible to please God without faith. What? You mean, you really mean that if I don't have faith, I can't please God? Watch this now, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now here's the meat of this. For he who comes to him must believe. Again, we're talking about faith, we're talking about trust, we're talking about belief, we're talking about this careless confidence, right? And it's impossible to please him without faith, so we have to walk by faith. We must. We have to stand behind our faith, because our faith is that shield that protects from the enemy. Watch this. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Well, must believe that he what? That he is. Well, what does that mean? Your version, your Bible might say, if you come to God, you must. This is a must. This is an absolute. If you're going to please God, watch this now. You have to believe that he exists. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What you mean? You mean, tell me, like, listen, okay, break this thing down, right? I got to walk by faith. I'm supposed to take it up. Paul says, listen, pick it up. Take up that shield of faith. Man, stand behind your faith. Know who you believe in. Well, it's impossible to please God without faith, for those who come to God must believe that he exists. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Man, I think if you're athletic, I think you can relate to this, or if you're in any situation, whether you're a musician or whether you're athletic or whether you're in any type of competition. Like, what do you do, man? When you come to competition, when you're a baseball player, like we went to the tournament this weekend, like immediately you're sizing people up. You're sizing up the pitcher. How fast is the pitcher throwing? Does the pitcher have a curveball? How big are these 13-year-olds? I don't know what some of these kids eat this weekend. I thought we were in the wrong league. Like, these guys are 16. They're beefy. Every one of them hit puberty. You're just like, who are these kids, right? You're sizing them up. We didn't win that game because they were just manly. Anyways, but it's what you do, right? You size up the competition. You size up who's across from you. You size up the pitcher. You size up the quarterback. You size up the line. If you're a lineman, you're like, oh, man, I'm bigger than this guy. I'm okay. I'm going to be stronger. I'm sizing up the competition. Watch this. Watch this. In our faith, what happens? What happens when you size up God? See, the fact is this, the measure of your belief, I believe it lies in the measure of how big God is to you. If you really believe, God, I will continually set the Lord before me because you are at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God, I believe that you are the creator of the universe, and what you did, you spoke. All you did was speak. Listen, you can go through scripture and it constantly is a reminder of his creation. And his creation is a constant reminder of how great our God is and how powerful our God is. And in 6 days, he spoke and he created. And just, I mean, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you look at the things that fly and the things that swim. And you look at his creation of us, his greatest creation, and who we are. And the function of our body, how we breathe, how we exist, how we can see, how we can talk, how our mind works. I mean, when you begin to really say, God, is there anything too difficult for you? God, how big truly are you, God? Man, I think watch this now. Our confidence begins to grow when you can properly size up God. Why? Because he must believe. If we're walking by faith that pleases him, you must believe that God exists. And when you understand, and that's speaking in reference to God existing as he says that he exists. And God himself said, listen, there is no one who compares to me. Church, what happens when you come to a place to say, okay, how truly have I really sized up my God? If my God is for me, who can be against me? If God has a plan for me and I'm following hard after him, who's going to come against that plan? How big is my God to me? If I'm walking by faith, the enemy, the fiery darts, they can't touch me. If I got my field, they can't touch me. They're going to come and they're going to be extinguished. How? By my faith. In my what? In my trust in Jesus. In what? My belief in Christ. My what? My belief that God does exist and he exists according to how he says he exists, that there is no one like him and he is excellent. He is majestic and he is holy and he is all powerful and he's all knowing and he's always before me. He knows my tomorrow. He's ahead of me. And we come to this place to really believe, God, I have to believe that you've got this. Let my faith speak to how great you are. Let my faith speak to your goodness. Let my faith speak to your greatness. Let my faith speak to God. You are bigger than I could ever imagine you to be. I know that you exist and you exist according to how you say you exist. Man, that comes to a place to just breed confidence within you and I when we really understand, listen, it is a must for us to believe that he exists. And it's not according to how you think he exists. He exists according to how he says he exists, and he's greater and bigger than we could ever imagine. What happens when you come to a place to really trust in him and really believe in God's providence, that God, you have a plan, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm not going to question, and I'm going to do what I can do to bring you glory and honor. And God, in that, I'm going to trust you for my tomorrow. What can the enemy do with that? And you come to this place to say, God, I don't know what this situation looks like, but I'm going to trust you. And I get the privilege to speak at the Portville Baccalaureate tonight, and I'm so excited about it. I've been studying for that and just thinking and praying through that. And one of the stories that where I'm going to kind of go tonight, I just want to share it because it fits so well right here, where you've got the story of Gideon, and you've got Gideon is this dude, he's hiding in a wine press because he's nervous and he's scared. And the angel of the Lord comes and he says, you're a valiant warrior and it's time to rise up. And you have this dude named Gideon, and he's just like, okay, you mean we're going to fight them? There's 400,000 of them, and we're all kind of hiding in the hills. And the angel of the Lord says, gather your men, and let's go to battle. So Gideon goes, and he gathers 32,000 men. Mind you, who are all shaking in their boots, hiding in the woods. And we're going to go up against over 400,000 soldiers who've been ready for battle. And Gideon's going, this doesn't look so good. Like 32,000 against 400,000, the odds are bad. And then the Lord does something crazy. And the Lord says, okay, you're not seeing how great I am. Listen, we need to do this because even with 32,000, you might actually think that you could win this without me. Watch this. Anybody who's faint-hearted and afraid, release them. So Gideon goes before 32,000 and says, okay, if anybody is scared, all the faint-hearted, if you don't want to go, you're released. Maybe a good soldier, a good warrior is going, I'm going to keep all 32,000, man. Now I've got my real men. I know, man, 32 strong who are fearless. Man, we got this. Let's go. But no, 22,000 left. No, I'm scared. Oh, me too. No, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm faint-hearted. Oh, I'm nervous. Oh, and he just, I don't even know what that scene would look like. Could you imagine where Gideon's over these 32,000 men and he gives this announcement and all of a sudden one drops his sword, another drops his shield, another drops his sword, another one begins to leave, and another one begins to leave, and he's like, what is happening? And it boils down And all of a sudden, he comes to a place where the Lord says, hey, you're 22,000 that just left, that leaves you with 10,000. Gideon's going, man, it's just kind of slim pickings. God says, yeah, still too many. What? God, how great are you? Gideon, take them down to the brook, and if they drink this way, release them. If they drink this way, keep them. And it ends up that there's 300 soldiers left. But there is this switch that took place in Gideon that I just... It is my desire that it is a switch that takes place in every one of us. His crew boils down to 300. Which, if you break that down in odds, it's one per every 450 soldiers. That means I have to fight 450 soldiers myself and win. Those are bad odds. There's this amazing switch that took place. Gideon, in faith, trusted in Almighty God. God, if this truly is, watch this, if this truly is for your glory, and if you're the only one that gets the bragging rights, then we can win with 300. There is this switch in his faith that took place. Because he, watch this, he sized God up to the 400, over 400,000 soldiers. And believe that my God is bigger than them. And my tiny little army of 300, if it takes one of us going against 450 of them, then we will prevail because my God is bigger. That is this amazing, incredible story of one man who sized up God in faith to know how big our God is. And to know what it looks like to believe that God, and I love Psalm 28:7, it'll be up on the screen. God, you are my strength and you are my shield. Isn't it amazing that God says, take up the shield? And isn't it amazing that God says, listen, actually get this. I'm actually going to be your protector. I'm actually going to be your strength. That means your might. That means power. I'm going to be your strength and I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to protect you. Isn't it great to know that I have a God who is bigger and greater than anyone ever? I have a God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I have a God who speaks and it happens. I have a God who goes before me. I have a God who's on my right hand. I have a God, watch this. The God says, listen, Sean, not in your own strength. And it is not in your own power, but it is in my strength and it is in my power in you through Christ. And Sean, I will be your shield. Come on, church. And I love this because when you study this word shield, what he's talking about, the definition of this shield is the scaly hind of a crocodile. And I love that because it's like, listen, could you imagine like all of that scaly hind of a crocodile covering a shield? Man, and that was just so many in front of the whole army. You're just like, there's nothing that can penetrate that. I love this because my God says, listen, Sean, I will protect you. I love this. He says, my heart will trust in him. What happens? The word trust here is another word for faith. What happens when I understand, God, you're my strength. God, you're my shield. In my heart, my inner person, who I really am, I will trust you because I've properly sized you up compared to anything that I will ever go through. I've sized you up, God. And because of that, because I see how great you are and I see how powerful you are and I trust your word is truth, I trust that when I pick up that shield of faith and I believe that I'm able to overcome and I'm able to extinguish all. Every single fiery dart the enemy would fire at me can be extinguished because of my faith and my faith in Christ. And my faith that you are God, my faith in your power and your authority, my faith that you will protect me. Nothing can penetrate you. And in that, watch this, my heart will trust in him and I am helped. Therefore, here's the switch. Therefore, again, my heart exults. Listen, there is this careless confidence. Man, there is this place that you and I would switch to go from a place of worry to this careless confidence. God, you got my back. God, you got my front. God, you got my side. God, you got a plan and a purpose for me. God, I'm not just wandering aimlessly. God, you do have a plan for me. God, you do have a purpose for me. God, you do have a future for me. God, I'm going to trust in you for my day. I'm going to serve you wholeheartedly. I'm going to follow so hard after you, Christ, but I'm going to believe this, that I'm going to be careless in my confidence where I don't have to worry. We've gone from that place to worry. We've gone from that place of concern. We've gone from that place of not knowing tomorrow to a place that my heart will exalt. And I love the switch where the psalmist says, no, my heart will now exalt. And the word exalt, it means to rejoice. What happens when a careless confidence takes over? Because you've sized up God who reigns and dwells within you to say, Sean, I'm going to strengthen you. Sean, I'm going to be a shield to you. Sean, pick up the shield of faith, trust, believe, be bold. Be bold in your confidence in me. Size me up. Know that I'm great. Size me up. Know that I can give you favor. Size me up. Know that I will put you right where you need to be. Pay attention. Pay attention. I will put you right where you need to be. So that I know that my heart can come to a place to rejoice. Last thing is this. And with my song, I shall say thank you. So I love this verse because it comes to a place going, okay, I've built faith in a place to know Christ and know how amazing and great our God is. That God sees my every hour. He sees my every moment. And he's put me right where I need to be. And I'm walking by faith. And the enemy's been throwing darts at me. But man, it's been amazing because they're falling short. They're hitting the shield of my faith and they're being extinguished. And I'm growing in my boldness. And I'm growing where I don't walk in this place of worry, that I'm walking in this place of confidence. And in that, there's been this switch. And now my heart that was once worried and concerned is a heart that walks to exalt and to rejoice in the Lord. Oh, and then all of a sudden, I find myself in a place to give thanks to him. And I love this word, give thanks. In Hebrew, it's yada. And what yada means, we did it even this morning. It's not like a point that you have to, but it's a point of posture. That the yada, the word here for giving thanks, it's a posture word. That in my giving thanks to him, I will raise my hands to give thanks to him. My posture will be one with extended hands towards him to say, I get it. I thank you. I'm amazed by you. I worship you with my hands extended. And how do you just to say thank you? Man, there is a switch that takes place from worry to rejoicing when faith is in the middle to say, no, there's this boldness, there's this confidence. The enemy's arrows will come, but they will fall short because not because of me, but because of my faith in the one who loves me and the one who put himself on the cross for me and my faith in Jesus Christ, that God is bigger and I've sized him up and there's nothing that he can't do. He will put me where I need to be. And in that, watch this church, I will not be afraid. Come on, can you bow your heads, please? Can I ask you a fair question? Where are you in this? Right now. Can I ask you a fair question? Like, seriously, where is your faith? It's not faith in a religion. It's not faith in Believer's Chapel. It's not faith in any type of denomination or any type of church. We must put our faith in Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you come to that place to repent from sin? Have you come to that place to truly believe? Jesus, you're it. You're the answer. There is no other way. Everything else is a lie. And I confess that Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender. That's where faith begins. Is when we lay ourselves down to put our trust in another. And it's you putting your trust in Christ. Maybe you've been saved and you really understand what salvation means. And you really have come to that place to really trust Christ. And you know that you're born again. But maybe there's been things coming up and you're just like, just struggling. I've kind of lost my confidence. I've taken my eyes off of what's only right in front of me. Man, I've been worried about so many things. Been worried about things that of the unknown of what my tomorrow holds. Well, let's walk out of this place different. I want all of us to have that switch to take place, to say, no, I know how great my God is. I've sized him up. And there is no one like you. Lord, you have no equal. You are great. And you are mighty. You are my strength. And you are my shield. I want that bold confidence in you. I want that careless confidence that I will worry not. That you have me right where you need me. That I would be reminded today that it's not about me. As it wasn't about Gideon and his 300. It was about your glory. Not about me. You have me where you have me for your glory. You have me where you have me for your glory. Where's our faith today? Size God up, would you please? Size him up. Buy into how great he is. And my heart will trust in you. Therefore, I will rejoice. And I will give thanks. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.